for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And I want to say that he's the only one that we need. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I want to speak today about God's will for the lost. God's will for the lost. Sometimes among those of us who have been saved, and I spoke last week about times in our life when we need to say, Lord, what is it that you want? What would you have me to do? And sometimes, you know, as God's people, the direction that the Lord would have for us to go, the things that he would have for us to do, sometimes we have to seek out God's will in our lives and find out what pleases the Lord and what he would have for us to do. At times, I've heard people pray, and I know that certainly nothing, you know, bad was meant or anything like that, but I've heard people before in benediction prayers more than one time praying and saying as they were dismissing the congregation and saying, you know, making their petitions of the Lord and then saying, save the lost if it be your will. And I would always think it is his will. You know, that's something that we know what God's will is in that matter. The Bible tells us that very plainly. And Paul told us that in these verses here that I've read in 1 Timothy 2. So I want you to know today, if you're here and you're lost, that God's will for you is that you be saved. So you don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder about whether or not it is God's will or not to save you, because it is. And the Apostle Paul told us that here in the fourth verse of 1 Timothy 2. He was speaking about God, and he said, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? And I want to share that thought with you here today and some other scriptures that teach us that as well. In the second epistle of Peter, in the third chapter of that epistle, he was talking, he was writing to those people there in that epistle about the coming of the Lord, the end of the world, the second coming of Christ. And he was talking about how that in the last days that there would come scoffers, and they would walk after their own lust, and they would say, where is the promise of his coming? You know, we've heard about this, And since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were even unto this day, and scoff at his coming. Make fun of it even. But the Apostle Peter goes on and says, in the ninth verse, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And that was a very, you know, that was not just a general statement. The Lord will keep every promise that he has ever made in any way, but the Apostle Peter there was writing about a very specific promise when he made that statement, when he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He was talking about the promise that he made that he would come again. He is not slack concerning his promise. And I believe that what the Apostle Peter was telling them was that the fact that time is continuing, the fact that the Lord has not already come back, is because that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, you see, the Lord, through his mercy, has extended to you even the opportunity that you have today to seek him for the salvation of your soul. And he has done that. He is long-suffering and patient and extends his mercy in that way for the reason, for the specific reason that he is just, it's just not his will for any to perish. But he would have all to come to repentance. Now, listen, I recorded some sermons this week for the Voice of Baptist Truth program, and one of those was on the wrath of Almighty God. And in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, and speaking about the wrath of Almighty God, I spoke there about the verse of Scripture that tells us that he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the Scriptures go on and they tell us that for those that are in unbelief, that the wrath of God abides upon them. And you need to understand that here today, that if you are lost and without the Lord today, it's not just a future condemnation, but you are presently, currently condemned. And the wrath of God is abiding upon you. Now, there's coming a great day of his wrath. The end of time is coming, as the Apostle Peter spoke about, and make no mistake about it, if the coming of the Lord finds you lost and without God, then you will always be lost and without God. You've got to make your preparation either before death comes upon you and you leave this world, or before the Lord returns, because after that, there's not going to be any more mercy extended to you. Make no mistake about it that if you do not repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord, you will die, as Jesus said, in your sins. He said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. You will go there for eternity. You will go there with no hope of escape. You will go there with no further hope of salvation. You will die lost and be separated eternally from God and from his love and from any further opportunities to seek him for salvation. But let me tell you something. For every person that happens to, it was not God's will for it to happen. It was not His will. The will of God concerning those that are lost was well proven to us in the things that He did. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, there's something in that love there that also is very specific. And God is love, but I'm going to tell you what I believe the Lord Jesus was really telling us in that verse. God had such a desire for people to be saved. He had such a desire for His creation to have eternal life that He sent His only begotten Son. He was not speaking about the world there. He was not speaking about the cosmos. He was speaking about the inhabitants of the earth. God has such a love for humanity and such a desire for people to be saved that He sent His only begotten Son to come into the world and to make the only atonement that could remit our sins. Did you know that there was nobody else? There was nobody else other than Jesus that could come and die for us? Nobody else. His sacrifice was typified. Brother Durant, the ark, typified Christ. Brother Durant was teaching about that downstairs this morning. It was a type of Christ. His Christ and His sacrifice was typified many ways for many years throughout time. Throughout the Old Testament, we read during the days of Moses and that economy, how that during the times of the tabernacle, that there was just animal after animal that was sacrificed, and it typified the blood of Christ. But the Apostle Paul, or whoever it was that wrote Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, he said it wasn't even possible that the blood of those animals could take away sins. Jesus was the only one that was suitable to make that sacrifice, to shed the blood that could wash away our sins. And He did it. He did it. Why? Why did He do that? Why did the only begotten Son of God, the pure and holy and righteous Son of God, why did He come to the earth and suffer the things that He suffered and die the awful death of the cross that He did? Why did He go through these things? I'll tell you why. Because God was not willing for one person to perish. He wanted everybody to be able to have a way to be saved, because that's His will for mankind. We read in the Scriptures, and I know you've heard this many times, what we read about that place that's called hell. God did not prepare that place for human habitation after this life. It was a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. When an angel sins against God and falls, they've just fallen. There's no redemption for them. That place was made for the devil and his angels. But all those that forget God will go there, and they'll spend eternity in that awful place. The Bible tells us that in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, that when Jesus came, that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. But don't you know that that's not what He wanted? That was their choosing. And I believe the Bible proves to us that that is not what Jesus wanted from them. He did not want them to reject him. He wanted them to receive him. He wanted them to be saved. And he lamented that. The Lord lamented that. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and you would not. What will you do today with the Lord? Lost friend, what are you going to do with him today? What about the question that Pilate once asked when he said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with him today? Are you going to be counted among those today that will reject him and that will push him away and say, no, Lord, I'm not interested in that? Or will you receive him? Will you come to him and seek him? Because John went on and said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I got to tell you today, I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I found peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that I found forgiveness of sin and that he spoke peace to my soul, because now I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear. Whenever life comes to an end, I'll just go home and be with God. Be happy and be content for all eternity. But if you're lost today, I want you to know that you're in an awful shape. And God has done everything necessary in order for you to be saved. He has not left one thing undone. He sent his son to die for your sins. He has left the Holy Spirit here to convict us and to make us see our lost condition and to draw us to the Lord. He calls men to preach the gospel. He calls men to sound the trumpet and to warn the people to turn from their sins. He has left his church here in the world to see that the gospel goes out. The Lord has done everything. He has made every provision that is necessary, friend, in order for you to be saved. And he made them because he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We're all going to die, aren't we? The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. In Hebrews 9:27, in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 5, it tells us that we have knowledge of that, that the living know that they shall die. We've all got to face that. But in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible tells us there, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, friend, listen, this is the invitation. This is the invitation today that comes to you from God. It's God's invitation. The church extends that invitation. But this is the invitation. We find it recorded in Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Why is God doing that? Don't you know that when the Lord looks down upon this world today, don't you know that he's sickened by what he's seeing? Don't you know that God today, just like he was in the days of Noah, when he looked down upon his creation and saw what they had become and saw what they were allowing sin to do. They were just letting sin reign in their lives. Isn't that not what's happening in the world that we live in today? Is sin not reigning on the earth today? I mean, it just seems like things get worse and worse all the time, doesn't it? It seems like every time you turn around, you'll hear of somebody that's doing some other kind of vile, awful thing that people not many years ago perhaps wouldn't have even thought about. Sin doesn't get any better. It seems to just breed more sin. And don't you know that when God looks down upon the world today, just like he did in the days of Noah, and saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, and it sickened God. The Bible says it grieved him at his heart. We may forget about the fact that God feels things the way that God sees things. He looked down and he saw what was going on, and it grieved him at his heart, and it repented him that he had even made man. And he said, I'll destroy him. Let me tell you something about God. God loves you. He loves you more than anybody has ever loved you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you a home in heaven when life is over. He wants to give you peace while you live in this world, and a home in heaven when this life is over. But make no mistake about it, God despises sin. He hates it. He hates it. And he's long-suffering. God is long-suffering. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a day when God's going to say, that's enough. That's enough. I have put up with this long enough. He's going to say to his darling son, go get my children. Go get my children. We're done. We're finished. And he's going to come. He's not slack concerning his promise. And he's going to come. And he's going to gather all the population of the world before him. All the inhabitants are going to come before him. Don't you know that's going to happen? And he's going to begin to divide them. The Bible says he's going to separate them like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. I'm telling you, if you haven't made your peace with the Lord, you better make haste. You better make haste to come to Jesus, because he's not slack concerning his promise. He's coming. He's coming. I'll tell you what, for those of us that are saved, that's going to be a glorious sight, is it not? That's going to be awesome to see the Lord. We're going to see it. Every eye is going to see him. Every eye will see his coming. Jesus Christ himself said, and we find it recorded in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Why did he do that? Because he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to tell you something today. The Lord beckons to you with his nail-scarred hands and his outstretched arms. Come to me. Come to me. Seek me and be saved. Seek me and be saved. If you don't take advantage of it, you're going to die lost and ruined for all of eternity. But I'm going to tell you what, if that happens, and I pray that you won't let that happen, but if that happens, it's going to happen against God's will. It'll happen against His will. I've heard people say that the will of the Lord's always done. No. No. When people die lost and without Him, His will's not done. God is not willing for that to happen. He has no pleasure at all when somebody dies lost and without Him. If you're here today and you're lost, all of you, every one of you that's here today and lost, you need to come to the Lord today. You need to come seeking mercy of a God that doesn't want you to die lost and in your sins. But you will, if you fail to come His way, you will die in your sins. Let's have a song. And everybody follow the Lord, please. Please follow the Lord. Listen, church, today, please, if God puts something on your heart, don't fail the Lord today. This is such an important and serious matter. We're dealing with the eternal welfare of souls. Whatever the Lord bids you to do today, please obey Him and follow the leadership of His Holy Spirit while we stand and sing.